Just 4 days ago, the very first image ever captured of a black hole was released to the public. Did you all see it? Yes. This previously unimaginable picture seized the imagination of the entire world. Would you look at that? The whole world sighed. Even scientists couldn't believe their eyes, many of them admitting that they never thought they would live to see the day when we could have a picture of a black hole. Some of you may know more about this than I do, but from what I understand, a black hole is a place in the universe with such high concentration of matter and energy that space-time collapses and sucks everything around it into its abyss. It's a place where the gravitational pull is so strong that nothing, not even light, can escape. So the image of the black hole we saw this week allowed us to observe these facts for the first time because black holes are so far away, it's hard to see them. And it allowed us to visually confirm Einstein's theory of relativity. But whatever happens to all that light, matter, and energy inside the black hole when the laws of physics collapse, well, that remains a mystery, at least to me, and I think most of us. But this was an exciting week, right? It was wonderful to see that image, and scientific discoveries of this magnitude are thrilling. Yet they tend to leave us with even more questions than we had before, inviting us right back into the age-old existential questions known to all of our ancestors. Questions like, why is there something rather than nothing? What is the point of all this something? Was there something before the Big Bang? What conditions were necessary for the Big Bang to occur? And if the universe had a beginning, does that mean it will have an end? And what in the world is our role in all of this? Sound familiar? Have any of you asked those questions to yourself before or to others? Yeah, all the time. Across history, culture, and time, these questions have been uttered out of the mouths of most all human beings, who were then universally led deeper into the heart of the mystery and left dazzled, gazing up at the stars or into the face of a loved one. How did I get here? Why? What does it all mean? How and why was I created? To formulate an answer, our ancestors, people all over the world, across all time, told creation stories. Creation stories. Creation stories are a very important part of every religious tradition. They shape the entire worldview of a people, from the largest ways in which they organize societies down to the most intimate ways in which they live their daily lives. They articulate an answer to the great mystery of how the universe began and what's the point. They invite people into ways of knowing, being, and responding to the fact that we are alive. I've discussed a few different creation stories from a variety of traditions from this pulpit before, but today I want to focus on Tikkun Olam, the creation story in the Jewish mystical tradition, Kabbalah. According to Kabbalah, all being is rooted in the Ein Sof, the divine light, the holy oneness of creation, the source of all that is. And as we heard in our stories earlier, in order to create the cosmos, the Ein Sof released a piece of itself to initiate creation and placed itself carefully into a series of vessels, and then they broke. Somewhere along the way, and the divine light scattered everywhere across the universe. So rather than a carefully packaged, tight, and perfect universe, we ended up with this, a wild, vast, chaotic universe with light scattered every which way, becoming everything that is, including each one of us. As you can see, this part of the story answers the question of how the universe began. It's interesting that similarly, science comes up with the same answer. We are all stardust from the Big Bang that created everything and scattered everywhere. But Tikkun Olam also addresses the question of what's the point? Why am I here? And it is said that when the vessels broke and the light scattered, the job of everything in creation became about reparation and restoration, and our central purpose as human beings emerged. We are here to find and uncover all the bits of light in ourselves, in others, in animals, in the natural world. We are called to uncover them and restore them to the one wholeness, or the Ein Sof. We are here to practice Tikkun Olam, which in Hebrew means repair of the world or repair of the cosmos. This is a mystical story known and loved by Jewish mystics. To understand it, I'm going to see if we can be mystics today, or at least try. What does a mystic mean, you ask? My favorite definition is one by Rabbi Lawrence Kushner. Rabbi Kushner is a longtime student of Kabbalah, and he once said, "This is the definition of a mystic. A mystic is anyone who has the gnawing suspicion that the apparent discord, brokenness, contradictions, and discontinuities that assault us every day might conceal a hidden unity, a hidden unity, a hidden truth that all of creation is one, part of one whole. Separateness is an illusion." From my perspective of oneness, kindness and compassion ignite as we learn to treat everything in creation as we would treat ourselves, with gentleness and respect. But healing the whole world, the whole cosmos, as is implied in Tikkun Olam, well, that feels impossible, doesn't it? Most days, where do we even start? Issues, the problems of the world are so big, too big for one person to address. I've had that feeling. Maybe you're having that feeling right now. What can I possibly do? And if you have ever had a feeling like this, similar to despair, when you're wondering, what can I possibly do to make the world a better place? I want to see if we can enter today into a different space, a space of possibility. As Rachel Naomi Remen said, we are all healers of the world. And that story opens a sense of possibility. It's not about healing the world by making a huge difference. It's about healing the world that touches you, that's around you. So we don't have to do it all at once. Tikkun Olam invites us to heal the world through every small kind of act, every moment of kindness and compassion. We can do it by loving ourselves, being kind to animals, treating others fairly, respecting the earth, taking care of your own body, planting a tree, planting potatoes, as our young people did this morning, smiling at a stranger. The task is as simple and as difficult as to notice and respect the divine light in everyone, everything around you, and to respond with kindness and compassion. So we don't have to do it all, just our part. In modern Jewish circles, Tikkun Olam has widely become synonymous with social action or social justice work, which makes sense, because from a perspective of unity, where you realize that you're not separate from anyone or anything else, the only way to respond to that is with compassion and to work for a better world for all, because in doing so, it's for your benefit and for the benefit of everyone you know and love as well. So we can do some of the intimate things, like being kind, planting trees, some of the personal things that we've already discussed. And Tikkun Olam invites us to work together. Together, we can use such tools as public policy and collective action to work for societal healing and change. And that's what some progressive Jewish circles see in Tikkun Olam. So if you want to go there, and I know a lot of us do, if we want to collaborate to amplify our actions, you have to be in a network of other people. And I know there are countless organizations out there that we can partner with working towards a better world. And I wanted to just speak of one of my favorites today. It's called Repairers of the Breach. Do you remember that phrase from the reading, the responsive reading from Isaiah we just had? Repairers of the Breach. Tikkun Olam. fixing what is broken in the world. Repairs of the Breach was founded in 2015 by the Reverend Dr. William Barber, a man who I have spoken highly of before, and whose book, The Third Reconstruction, this congregation read together last year. If you didn't have a chance to read it, there are copies in the Ely Room Library, and you're welcome to check one out if you want to read it. Repairers of the Breach is a coalition-based nationwide movement that is building a moral agenda rooted in a framework that uplifts our deepest moral and constitutional values to redeem the heart and soul of our country. Based on the idea that some issues are not left versus right, but right versus wrong, Repairers of the Breach challenges the position that the preeminent moral issues of our time are prayer in public school, abortion, or property rights. Instead, we declare that the moral public concerns of our faith traditions are how our society treats the poor, women, LGBTQ people, children, workers, immigrants, communities of color, and the sick. Our deepest moral traditions point to equal protection under the law, the desire for peace within and among nations, the dignity of all people, and the responsibility to care for our common home. It's not left or right, it's just right or wrong. This moral agenda has been presented to many of our elected officials, and they keep on presenting it in Repairers of the Breach. And they're mobilizing folks all across the country, across race, class, gender, religion, and sexuality to rebuild, raise up, and repair the moral infrastructure of our country. In other words, they're noticing the divine light in all people, responding to it with compassion, and working to protect everyone equally and fairly so that everyone may live a full life, because we are all one. In addition to building a moral agenda for our nation, Repairers of the Breach has partnered with hundreds of local and national partners to lead a new Poor People's Campaign. This multi-state movement, I've spoken about it before from this pulpit, but I'm going to do it again. This multi-state movement, inspired by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s Poor People's Campaign of 50 years ago, has emerged again from more than a decade of work by grassroots community and religious leaders, organizations, and movements fighting to end systemic racism, poverty, the war economy, environmental destruction, and other injustices. There is an Iowa chapter of the Poor People's Campaign, which I'm a member of. You can join too. In 2 weeks, on Saturday, April 27th, this Iowa chapter will be hosting the Iowa leg of the National Emergency Truth and Poverty Tour in Waterloo. This will be a hearing to center the voices of those impacted the most by poverty, racism, the war economy, and ecological devastation. And on the national level, on June 17th through 19th, the Poor People's Moral Action Congress will take place in Washington, D.C., to frame a national conversation around the real emergencies in our country that are hurting people and for which we cannot stand any longer. Beloveds, we are all healers. When we start with the mystical notion that everyone and everything is connected, we can't help but be compelled to treat everyone and everything in the universe with kindness and respect. For in doing so, we treat ourselves that way. As the Kabbalah creation story teaches through Tikkun Olam, our central task just might be to repair what is broken in the world. We can do this. We can make the world whole again. And when we do it, we shall be called repairers of the breach, restorers of our communities. May this be so. Amen. Blessed be.